All right, welcome to another deep dive. This time we're taking a look at a lecture by Dr. Marv Wilson. He's a professor, and man, does he know how to make the profits come alive. We've got his lecture notes, did some extra digging ourselves, and of course, we've got our own thoughts and questions.
Yeah, it's like we've got a treasure map leading us right into some of the most fascinating parts of the Bible.
Exactly. And this map, well, it takes us to some pretty thought-provoking territory. One thing that really jumped out at me was how Dr. Wilson approached interpreting prophecies, particularly those about the end times. It seems like he's saying, you know, we really need to be careful about using those prophecies to justify action that could actually cause harm right now.
Oh, absolutely. He brings up this idea that people can get so fixated on what they believe is going to happen in the future that they totally lose sight of the impact their actions are having in the present.
Yeah, like it's almost as if they think the end justifies the means, even if those means are, well, harmful.
Exactly. And Dr. Wilson, he really pushes back on that. He uses this really striking example, actually, of a Muslim student he knew who had this deep, deep belief in fate. This student felt that pretty much everything was predetermined, so human actions, well, they didn't really matter.
Wow, that's a really tough concept to wrap your head around.
It is. And Dr. Wilson contrasts that with, well, the Jewish principle of pikkush nefesh, which means essentially saving a life is the highest priority. It overrides pretty much any other religious obligation.
So even if you believe in fate, you still have this responsibility to act ethically to protect life.
Absolutely. Makes you think, right, about how our own beliefs actually play out in the real world.
It really does. So, okay, moving on, Dr. Wilson also gets into this concept called multiple progressive fulfillment. Now, I gotta admit, that sounded a bit intimidating at first.
I hear you.
But the way he explains it, it's actually, well, it's pretty fascinating.
It is. He's essentially saying that some prophecies in the Bible might have multiple layers of meaning that unfold over time. Like, imagine a seed growing into a plant, then bearing fruit.
Okay, I can see that.
So he uses this example of Isaiah 7.14, a passage that a lot of people interpret as, well, as a prophecy about the virgin birth of Jesus.
Yeah, that's a familiar one.
Right. But Dr. Wilson points out that if we go back to the original context, this prophecy probably also had a meaning for the people who were living, you know, back in Isaiah's own time. It might have pointed to a child born then, symbolizing God's presence, God's promise. Then, centuries later, damn, it takes on this whole other layer of meaning with the birth of Jesus.
So it's like the prophecy is this diamond with multiple facets, each facet reflecting light in a different way.
That's a great way to put it. It's not that the original meaning is wrong, but that the prophecy can have these multiple layers of significance that become clearer over time.
So it's not just about predicting the future, but also revealing these deeper truths about God, about humanity that unfold over time.
Exactly. It's about how God works through history, you know. Dr. Wilson also brings up Jeremiah 31, where God promises this new covenant. This passage speaks directly to the people of Israel back then, offering them hope and restoration.
Right.
But it also seems to point forward to something even bigger. Some scholars, they believe it hints at a future, maybe even a physical, restoration of Israel.
Wow, that's pretty mind-blowing. So does that mean we need to re-examine some of those ancient prophecies and how they might connect to events happening in the world today?
That's a great question, isn't it? It makes you think about the Bible less like a, you know, like a history book and more like this living document that speaks to us in different ways across time.
Absolutely. And speaking of ancient language, Dr. Wilson brings up another challenge. How do we apply the language of prophecy written thousands of years ago to our modern world? He calls it the principle of correspondence or equivalency.
He's basically saying we need to find the modern day equivalents of these ancient concepts, these ancient symbols, to really grasp their meaning for us today.
And he uses that famous line from Isaiah 2.4, they shall beat their swords into plowshares, as an example.
Such a powerful image, right? Peace, disarmament. But what are the swords and plowshares of our time?
That's a great question. I mean, are we talking about, like, nuclear weapons, cyber warfare? What would it even look like to transform the instruments of conflict in our world into something that actually builds and sustains life?
Exactly. It challenges us to think creatively, to find ways to apply these ancient principles to the very real, very complex challenges we're facing today.
I like that. It's not just about understanding the words, but understanding the spirit behind them and how they can guide us toward a better future.
Absolutely.
And speaking of challenging assumptions, Dr. Wilson then brings up Isaiah 19, where Egypt and Assyria, which is modern-day Iraq, by the way, are depicted worshiping alongside Israel.
Yeah, that's a pretty surprising image, especially considering the, you know, the historical tension between those nations.
It really is, and it makes you wonder, what would genuine reconciliation look like between nations and groups that have been, well, at odds for centuries? Could this ancient prophecy offer us a vision for a more peaceful and united future?
Such an important question, isn't it?
It is. I love how Dr. Wilson pushes us to think beyond the surface, to really grapple with the deeper implications of these prophecies.
Yeah, it's like he's saying the Bible isn't just this book of stories or predictions, but a source of wisdom that can help us navigate the complexities of our world and, you know, strive for a better tomorrow.
I totally agree. Now let's talk about, well, the big fish in the room, the book of Jonah.
Yes, the prophet who, well, tried to run away from God's call. But as Dr. Wilson points out, there's so much more to Jonah's story than just the whale.
He really emphasizes that it's a story about God's expansive love, a love that extends far beyond the borders of Israel.
And remember, Jonah was from Galilee, and he was sent to, well, the superpower of his time, the Assyrian Empire. Talk about an unexpected mission field.
Right. It's almost like God saying, look, my love and concern aren't limited to just one nation, to one people group.
And here's a little tidbit I found fascinating. You know, Jonah's name actually means dove.
Really? That's kind of ironic, considering he's known for, well, running away from his mission. You'd think a dove would be more, you know, willing to fly towards the unknown.
It definitely plays with our expectations, right? And it connects to this larger theme that runs through the book, God's desire to reach those we might consider outsiders, maybe even enemies.
And it's interesting, Dr. Wilson points out that Jonah came from the same region as Jesus, also from Galilee.
Two prophets from Galilee, separated by centuries, both carrying a message that really challenged the world.
That's a pretty amazing connection. And it makes you wonder, is there even more to the story of Jonah than we realize?
There always is with the Bible. It's full of these layers, these connections, just waiting to be discovered. It's like this endless deep dive.
I like that. Well, we've covered a lot of ground in this first part of our deep dive into Dr. Wilson's lecture.
We have. And it's amazing how these ancient texts can still spark such lively discussions and really challenge us to think differently about faith, action, and the world around us.
Absolutely. I'm already looking forward to diving even deeper into these ideas in the next part of our conversation. So, you know, it's interesting when we were talking about Dr. Wilson's lecture earlier, what really stood out to me was that whole thing about interpreting prophecies, especially those about the end times. You know, it's like he's urging us to be super careful about using those prophecies to justify actions that could actually end up harming people right now.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. It's almost as if he's saying, hey, don't get so caught up in what might happen down the road that you forget to act with compassion and justice today.
Right. And that story he told about his Muslim student, the one with the unwavering belief in fate, it really got me thinking, you know, about how easy it is to fall into that trap of thinking, well, our actions don't matter that much if everything's predetermined anyway.
It's a dangerous line of thought, for sure. It kind of takes away our sense of responsibility, doesn't it?
It does, and it makes me appreciate even more that Jewish principle that Dr. Wilson talked about, tikkun nefesh, the idea that saving a life, well, it trumps almost everything else.
It's powerful, right? It reminds us that even if we believe in fate or destiny, we still have a responsibility, a moral obligation to protect life.
It really puts things in perspective. But okay, let's shift gears a bit. I want to talk about something else Dr. Wilson mentioned, this whole idea of multiple progressive fulfillment. I got to be honest, I had to look that one up.
Huh. Yeah, it's a mouthful, isn't it?
It is.
But basically what it means is that some prophecies, those in the Adal, well, they can have multiple layers of meaning, meanings that kind of unfold over time. They might have been relevant to the folks who first heard them, sure, but they can also have a deeper, a more profound meaning centuries later, you know?
Okay, so it's like, imagine a prophecy is like a seed. It sprouts, grows over time, and reveals new layers of meaning as it blossoms.
Exactly. That's a great analogy. And the example Dr. Wilson uses is Isaiah 7.44, that passage about the virgin birth of Jesus.
Oh, yeah, that's a familiar one.
Right. But what Dr. Wilson pointed out is that, well, in its original context, this prophecy probably also had meaning for the people living back then, you know, in Isaiah's time. It might have referred to a child born then as a symbol of hope, of God's presence.
It's not that the traditional interpretation is wrong. It's just that the prophecy can, well, it can resonate on different levels across time, right?
Exactly. It's like a diamond, you know, a diamond with many facets, each reflecting light in a different way. And the meaning, it just deepens as time goes on. It's not just about predicting a single event in the future. It's about revealing these deeper truths about God's plan for us, for humanity.
That makes a lot of sense. So it's less about specific predictions and more about revealing God's character, his work on the world over time.
Yeah, you got it. And it opens up a whole new way of looking at these passages, the ones that seem mysterious. You know?
Definitely. Makes you wonder if there are other prophecies out there that maybe we're interpreting too narrowly.
Something to think about, that's for sure. And while we're talking about prophecies, you know, Dr. Wilson also brought up Jeremiah 31. That's where God promises a new covenant. Now, this passage, it obviously had meaning for the Israelites back then, right? Offering them hope, restoration, after exile.
Right.
But some scholars, they believe it also points toward a future, a possible physical restoration of Israel even. It's a passage that people are still debating and discussing today.
Wow, that's pretty complex.
It is, and it just goes to show you the Bible isn't this simple book of answers. You know, it's a book that invites us to, well, to grapple with these big questions, consider different perspectives, keep exploring, keep searching for meaning.
I like that. It's like this never-ending journey of discovery with the Bible. So Dr. Wilson also talked about how tricky it can be to apply the language of prophecy, you know, written thousands of years ago to our world today.
Yeah, he called it the principle of correspondence or equivalency. It's like, you know, imagine trying to translate a poem from another language. You got to find the right words, the right phrases to capture not just the literal meaning, but the spirit of the original text, the feeling.
Right. And I remember he used that line from Isaiah 2.4 as an example. They shall beat their swords into plowshares. Such a powerful image. Peace, disarmament.
It is powerful. But the question is, what are the swords and plowshares in our world today?
It's a good question, right? Because in a world with, well, with nuclear weapons, cyber warfare, all this advanced tech, it's not as easy as just, you know, melting down swords and turn them into farm tools.
No, it's not. It requires us to really think about what causes conflict, you know, and find ways to change the systems, the structures that perpetuate violence, injustice.
So it's less about just literal disarmament and more about changing hearts, changing minds, creating a culture of peace.
Yeah, I think you hit the nail on the head. It's about finding the modern equivalents of those ancient symbols and applying them to the problems we face today.
It's like we're being called to be, you know, like modern day prophets, finding ways to translate those timeless principles of peace and justice into action.
I like that. And, you know, speaking of challenging assumptions, Dr. Wilson went on to discuss Isaiah 19, you know, the part where we see Egypt and Assyria, which for anyone listening is modern day Iraq worshiping alongside Israel.
Yeah, that's a pretty radical idea, right? When you consider, well, the history between those nations, the conflict. Talk about burying the hatchet.
It really is. Makes you wonder, what would genuine reconciliation look like in our world today? I mean, think about it. There's so much division, so much hostility between countries, religions, even political parties.
It's almost, I don't know, overwhelming to even think about. But that passage from Isaiah, it does offer some hope, right? A vision of a future where those divisions, they're healed, where people from every walk of life can come together in unity, in peace.
It does. It's a reminder that, well, nothing's impossible with God. And it challenges us to imagine a world where those ancient prophecies of peace, of unity, they actually become a reality.
Now that's a world I want to live in. Okay, so we've talked about prophecies, the challenges of interpreting them, all that. But now let's dive into... Well, because of Jonah. I have to admit, I always thought it was just, you know, a simple story, a guy swallowed by a whale.
I think that's the image most people have, right?
Yeah.
But as Dr. Wilson pointed out, the whale, that's just a small part of it. It's about something much bigger, something much deeper. It's about God's expansive love.
It's about how God's love, his concern, they go way beyond the borders of Israel.
Right. And think about this. Jonah was from Galilee, right? And he was sent to the superpower, the biggest one around back then, the Assyrian Empire. I mean, talk about an unexpected mission field.
It's like God saying, my love, my concern, they're not limited to one nation, one group of people. It reaches everyone.
And you know, Jonah's name, it actually means dove.
Seriously. That's kind of ironic, isn't it? Considering he's known for, well, you know, trying to run away from God. You'd think a dove would be a little more, I don't know, willing to fly towards the unknown.
It definitely makes you rethink things, right? And it ties into that larger theme that we see in the book, God's desire to reach those we might consider outsiders, maybe even enemies.
And to add to that, Dr. Wilson mentioned that both Jonah and Jesus were from the same region, Galilee.
Two prophets from Galilee, centuries apart, both challenging the world with this message of God's love, God's mercy. It's powerful.
It is. And it makes you wonder, is there even more to this story than we realize?
There always is with the Bible, you know. It's full of these layers, these connections, just waiting for us to find them, like this endless deep dive.
I like that analogy. So as we move into the last part of our deep dive, I'm curious to explore some of the questions Dr. Wilson's lecture raised for us and to see how we can apply these insights, you know, to our own lives, to the world around us. You know, as we've been talking about all this, about Dr. Wilson's lecture, I keep thinking about that question he asked about Jonah.
The one about, you know, who might be those unexpected people, the ones who receive God's love and concern in our world today?
Yeah, exactly. It's like he's pushing us to look beyond our own little bubbles, our own ideas about who's in and who's out.
Right. Like a call to really expand how we understand God's love. you know, to see just how far it reaches.
And maybe even, I don't know, to look at our own biases, our own prejudices in a new light.
Because think about it, if God was so concerned with the people of Assyria back then, you know, they were considered enemies of Israel, who are we overlooking today? Who are those people we're pushing aside?
It really makes you stop and think, who are we labeling as outsiders, as enemies?
It's easy to get caught up in our own little worlds, to surround ourselves with people who, well, who think like us, believe like us.
But that's not how God works, is it? I mean, he's always reaching out to those who are lost, who are hurting, those who are unexpected.
Yeah, and often he uses the most, well, unlikely people to do his work, just like Jonah.
A prophet who, let's be honest, tried to run away.
Exactly. It reminds us that God doesn't always choose the people we would choose. He sees something in us, in everyone, that maybe we don't even see in ourselves. A potential for love, for compassion, that can break down barriers.
That can change people's lives, yeah.
And I think at the heart of it, that's Dr. Wilson's message, isn't it? This call to open ourselves up, to really experience God's love. A love that doesn't have limits, that embraces everyone.
A love that pushes us to look past our differences, you know, to see the image of God in every person we meet.
And to show grace, compassion, even to those who, well, those who might seem like they don't deserve it.
Because at the end of the day, we all need God's grace, right?
Every single one of us.
So as we wrap up our deep dive into Dr. Wilson's lecture, I think it's important to, well, to take that challenge with us.
To be aware of how we might be limiting, you know, limiting God's love with our own narrow views.
Yeah, to be willing to step outside of our comfort zones, to really connect with people who are different from us.
And to remember that this journey of faith, well, it's ongoing. It's about learning. It's about growing. It's about discovering new depths of God's love, of his grace.
Thanks for joining us on this deep dive. We hope it's inspired you to keep, you know, keep exploring, keep questioning, keep discovering what's in those scriptures.
And to, well, to live out God's love, God's grace in your own way.
Until next time, keep diving deep.